you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And just want to talk to you about some things that we need to hold on to, not let go. And that's going to be found in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16. Tells us here, so since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being here today. Thank you for your people here today. And Lord, we just welcome your presence. We welcome your speaking into our hearts and into our lives here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'd like to share with you about some important things we need to hold on to as believers in Jesus. You know, in regards to our faith in Jesus, there are some things that we need to hold on to firmly, not yielding to the pressure of the world or other Christians or anybody else for that matter. We need to hold firmly to our experience in Jesus, not being easily moved or persuaded otherwise, staying determined and focused that we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to realize that we have a proven faith, a proven Savior, that there is no other God or religion that can really compare. We have a God that loves us, a God that cares about us enough to send his Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. The Bible tells us he took on human flesh so that he could be our true substitute and sacrifice for sin. He became our superior high priest, offering the ultimate sacrifice of himself so that we could be forgiven of our sins once and for all because of the perfect sacrificial lamb who shed his blood for us. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's a legal part of any sacrifice, that blood had to be shed. And Jesus did that for us. Scripture puts it this way, Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured a redemption forever. You know, as you read through the book of Hebrews, it really reminds you that we have a superior God, a superior salvation, that we have a superior high priest, greater than the earthly priesthood of the Old Testament, as Jesus was of the order of Melchizedek, which is an order that has no beginning and no end. And so this is our Jesus that we serve. This is our Jesus who sits at the throne room of God, at God's right hand, a position of heavenly power and authority. And so as we think about that, it really should cause us never to give up our faith, because there is no faith like the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And there is no one more qualified than Jesus to put our faith and our hope in. So he really is the truth, he's the life, he's the way. And since he's gone into the heavens, into the supreme place, the most holy place, and has become our high priest who represents us before God, our faith should be something we should be confident about and hold on to, and also to be bold about. You know, you can compare all the religions of the world out there, and you will find that no one compares to our Jesus. So we should be, really continuing to love him, to serve him, to stay in a relationship with him, because there is no other. There is no other way to heaven than through Jesus Christ. And again, as you read the book of Hebrews, it goes to great lengths to prove that there is no God greater than our Jesus. And he goes on to speak of how Jesus is superior to all the other ways. And he points out to that fact that because of that, that we should come before him with boldness and with understanding that he will hear us. And that's a wonderful privilege that we have, that we shouldn't take lightly, that we have a wonderful privilege that we can come before the Almighty God with a boldness and a confidence that he will hear us and that he will answer us. And so this morning, I just want to share with you some of these things that we need to hold on to just as we look at these few little verses here in Scripture in verses 14 to 16 of Hebrews 4. And the first thing that we see here, as we recognize that Jesus is our great high priest, that he represents us before God, it says, when you recognize that, we need to hold firmly to what we believe. Hold on to your belief in Jesus. It is in the right place. And especially as you read God's word and as you experience him, you should realize that, yes, my faith is in the right place. Hebrews 14 says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And so that's something all of us as Christians, we need to hold firmly to what we believe. That we, you know, push back against any pressure or any compromise that might come our way. Or we push back against any belief that would be less than that. Because there is no God like our God. There really isn't. And so when it tells us that we need to hold on, to hold firmly to what you believe, you know, you need to read into that to understand that, well, why would I need to do that? Well, the scripture is telling us we need to do that because obviously there are going to be things that come our way that are going to test us from time to time in our area of faith. There will be things that will happen to you. There will be trials that you will go through where you're going to have to battle for your faith. And so the Bible said you need to be prepared for that. You need to be in that place where you prepare yourself to stand firmly when those things come against you. So we need to be anchored in Jesus. The Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil looks for opportunities all the time to come against us, to try to destroy our faith, try to make us compromise, try to interfere in our faith with God. He's always looking for opportunities. And so the Bible says, then stand firm that you don't give him any opportunity to come against your faith or to discourage you where you might lessen your faith. I like the book of Ephesians. Gives us a very good description of what we're facing as Christians. Ephesians 6, 12 to 14 says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground. So the Bible really does warn us. There's a lot more happening than what we see with a natural eye. There are spiritual beings out there. There's entities that are out there that are trying to destroy and bring evil upon our world and to cause us to compromise. And so we need to realize that there's a spiritual battle that we all will face besides physical battles as we serve and make that choice to serve the Lord. And he's telling us, stand firm. Stand your ground when those times come your way. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 puts it this way. It says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And this encouragement, again, is mentioned throughout Scripture, again, that we might prepare ourselves for the times of testing that may come our way. For some people, those tests can be terrible. Man, what some people go through totally amazes me. But you know what? God can give us the strength, no matter what we face, to come through any and every trial. And so it's getting back to that part that remember who your God is. Remember that he is your faithful high priest. Remember that he is interceding on your behalf. And so hold firm to your faith. It's a right thing to do. It is the right God that we are serving. Hold on. And, you know, and as we look at our world today and all the pressures that are out there in our society, and, you know, just looking in the natural, man, there's a lot of things, pressures out there to try to discourage people from the faith. Then add on to that all these spiritual entities that are trying to bring destruction our way. There is a battle that you will face. But remember, you serve the great King of Kings, the great Lord of Lords, the great High Priest who's already interceding on your behalf. Now, secondly, in things to hold on to here, we need to hold firmly that we serve a God who understands. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't hold on to our faith, or we don't draw close to God like we should, or we struggle in those areas of faith. And we need to remember something that, you know what, God understands. So when you go through those moments where maybe life was difficult, maybe you slipped up, maybe you messed up, you need to remember you still have a God that loves you and cares about you. You still have a God that as you cry out to him, that he's going to respond to you and he's going to help you. See, our Lord, he knows us. He loves us. He's interested in us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he loves us even in spite of what we do or what we don't do. He is with us. He's an understanding God. And that's one of the things we need to realize, that, you know, as we face those battles out there, that when you come before God, he's understanding. He knows where you're coming from. He knows the details that are going on in your life. He knows what battle that you may be facing. And so he's telling us, you still can come and draw near, no matter what's going on. Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. You know, sometimes we think, oh God, you don't even understand. And the word of God is telling us that, yes, he does. He understands. He was tempted just like we are tempted. The only difference was he didn't sin. So if we're wanting help in temptation, who's the best person to go to? The person that handled temptation but yet did not sin. And if we do sin, he says we have a faithful high priest that is there, that is interceding on our behalf, and who's understanding the reasons, the whys, and all those things. He understands those things. You need to realize that we serve a God who understands. But sometimes, you know, when we sin, or, you know, we maybe are a little bit not where we should be in our relationship with God, he is always there for us. He is always there, and he wants us to know that I'm still here for you. Sometimes we get to convince ourselves, well, that, you know what, I don't think God's going to be listening to me right now. You know, there's been some things going on, and, you know, I've done some things, or I've been thinking about some things, and I don't think God's going to be listening too much to me. God understands those battles. God understands those things. And you need to realize that when you come before him, he understands all of that. He really does. You know, and I really sense as I was preparing for this message that there may be people here, or maybe you're going to be watching online, and you've kind of convinced yourselves that you're deserving the punishment that you're going through right now. And instead of looking to God for help, you're almost looking for God to punish you. And that's not how God works. He does not want to punish you. He doesn't even want people to go to hell. He wants people to come to him, have faith in him, for people to come, repent of their sins, and turn from their ways. That's what God desires. But I sense that there's some folks here today, or are watching us today, that the enemy really got a hold of you and has really got you so down that you're almost afraid to even cry out to God, because you think that God's not going to accept you, or God's not going to receive you because of things that you may have done or things that may have happened to you. And friend, that's a lie. You're believing a lie if that is on your mind. God is trying to remind us that, listen, you have a high priest that intercedes for you, that understands you, and understands all the things that you are going through, and understands even the reasons behind why we have failed, or why things didn't happen the way that maybe they should have. Now, when we think about sin, when we sin against God, That doesn't mean that God just, you know, like, oh yeah, no problem, you know, sin, go ahead, keep sinning. No, not at all. Sin grieves God. Sin grieves the heart of God. And we need to realize that when we sin, yes, we are grieving him. Yet at the same time, we also need to realize he knows what we're going through. He knows the whys. He knows that he still wants to reach out to us. He's still wanting to help us. And so, you know, God doesn't write you off. People will do that to you, but God will not write you off. And I think he wants you to know that today. He's a God who intercedes on your behalf, who desires to help you. He's an ever-present help in our times of trouble. He wants to help us, not condemn us or even punish us. And so keep that in mind as we go through life and we face some battles that we go through. Sometimes we do well. Sometimes we may not do so well. Don't allow that to keep you from coming before God, because God is there to help you, not to condemn you, but to help you. Hebrews 2:18 says, since he himself, Jesus, has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. You know, we need to remember that God took on human flesh and lived among us, and he experienced the same temptations that we experience here in life. And the Bible tells us that. Now, what temptations did Jesus face throughout his life? It doesn't really show us all of them. It shows us some, but there's the everyday life things that the Bible doesn't talk about. It only tells us that he went through those things, was tempted, and yet he did not sin. But he's saying to us, I want to help you through that. You can be successful. You can get through this time. And again, that doesn't mean that God simply excuses sin. I know there's a lot of that talk today out there in our world. Oh yeah, God doesn't mind. It's okay if you sin. No, sin is never okay. But what God is saying is, I understand. I understand when you do sin. I understand when you make mistakes. I understand when you do things that you shouldn't have been doing. And he's saying to us, don't walk away from me, but come to me. You have a person that wants to help you and strengthen you and bring you through this time. So as you come to God, you're going to find he's understanding. He's not going to come and just give it to you and say, yeah, you're right. You are a terrible, rotten individual. How could you do these things? That is not God. God will not say that to you. He will welcome you, and he'll begin to help you and begin to strengthen you and begin to help you to get victory over those very areas where you may have failed. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow that temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you're tempted, he's going to show you a way out so you can endure. Going through temptation is not something that's enjoyable. You notice that the Bible says that he'll help you to endure those times. And so they're not always easy times. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temptation. But God is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. If you call on me, I'm going to help you through those times. See, God is more interested in showing you a way out than condemning you for what you did wrong. God is interested in seeing a change and helping you to find a way out of those troubles that you may have found yourself in. So don't allow mistakes or weaknesses or sin to drive you to a place where you start believing a lie that God doesn't care about you anymore, or that God's not going to receive you anymore, or that God is going to punish you now. God cares about you. His ears are still attentive to you, and he's reaching out to you, say, call on me. Don't pull away from me, but come closer to me, because I want to help you. Psalm 46:1, beautiful portion of scripture. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. King James says he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. So you need to remember something as we approach God. God understands. You're coming before a God who understands your circumstances. He understands your situations. He understands your whys. He understands the reasons of all the things that you've done, good or bad. And he's welcoming us. Keep coming to me. I want to help you. I want to be with you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to punish you. I'm here to help you. Come, call on me. And sometimes we really need to remind ourselves of that, because sometimes failures, mistakes that we make, and, you know, the devil just likes to put the screws in there when those things happen, and, you know, wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to feel shame. And he wants you to pull away from God and convince you that God is not interested in you anymore. Like you're being written off because of the things you have done. That's not the God we serve. He's a God who understands. Doesn't excuse sin, but he's there to help us to overcome sin in our lives. That's who our God is. Which leads us to our next point, to hold firmly to that belief that you still can come boldly before God in prayer, knowing he will hear you and knowing he will give you an audience. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. That's an interesting part that slips in there at the very back of that statement. Come boldly to what? Our gracious God. A God that understands, a God that gives us grace instead of condemnation, that gives us grace instead of saying, I'm going to punish you, you terrible, terrible person. No, there's a grace table that God invites us to come to where we will find grace. He is a good God. We need it not to be afraid of him, but to come boldly before him, because we will receive that grace. You know, I think of the story of the prodigal son. And after he went off and he began chasing and following all the pleasures and the sins of the world, soon he found out that they're not so great after all. Soon he found out that people hang around while you have money, but as soon as that money's gone, they kind of walk away from you and let you kind of wither away in your pain and in your addictions. When he finally comes to his senses, he begins to think of how good it was at his father's house. And that's something we need to remind ourselves of. If you've ever walked away from God, or maybe you're here today and you've walked away from God, or you're watching us online and you've walked away from God and you're listening today, maybe that's what's coming back to your mind. You're thinking of all the blessings that you experience in your father's house. And anyway, as this man, as he comes back, you know, he does a typical thing of a man thing. He kind of gives out the scenarios in his mind. And so he kind of comes to that place and thinks, well, you know, it's better there being a servant than actually where I am today. And so my dad's probably not going to accept me back because I squandered his wealth. I blew it away at a time when I shouldn't have been doing that. But, you know, maybe my dad might have mercy on me and maybe he'll hire me as a servant. So that was kind of his way out, that if dad rejects me, maybe at least he'll still hire me as a servant, and I'll be better off as a servant than what I am right now. But his father's response was quite different. And see, sometimes we kind of have those thoughts in our own minds. We kind of come up with some scenarios, and we kind of think that, you know, I got to, you know, give God some options here of what he can do because I've done certain things in my life. What we need to do is simply come to him. He's opening up his arms to us. He says, I'm welcoming you back as a father. And that's what happened for this prodigal son. Here's part of the story of the father's response in Luke 15:22-24. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began. And you know what, friends? That's what God is trying to tell you. And I think it's also a lesson for the church, that as we see people that maybe have walked away from the Lord, as they return, that we don't condemn them, but that we would welcome them and that we'd be ready with a robe and say, you're back home. You're in the right place. And friend, maybe you're watching online, you're kind of scared of church and you're kind of watching us online instead of, you know, coming to church. You are welcome here. You really are. Or if you're visiting with us today, you are welcome here. This is home. We welcome you back to home. And that's what the Lord is saying today as well. He wants to welcome you home. He's not going to go through all the things that you did. He's not going to repeat all those things where you messed up or did things that are wrong. He's going to say, welcome home. Welcome home. Let's get back to doing the Father's business. And so that's what it is. So again, we're saying, come boldly to that throne of grace because you will find grace. You will find that you are welcome there. And there's forgiveness, there is hope, there is healing, there's restoration there. You know, as believers in Christ, the Bible says, you know, we have a special access to the throne room of God. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22 says this. It says, so dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. There's a welcome waiting for you that as we make mistakes, as we fail, as we fall away from God, God is still welcoming us. And as he welcomes us, he will sprinkle us with that blood and cleanse us of our guilt and our shame and our fears and welcome us back into his presence. So that's something as Christian believers, there is a special access to God. And sometimes we like to look on the positive side of this and saying, yeah, like, yes, that's because we're Christians. But sometimes as Christians, we don't feel too confident. Sometimes we don't feel that, you know, God is listening to me right now. You know, maybe you should ask so-and-so to pray for you because, you know, I don't know if God's really listening to me right now. The Lord is saying, I am listening to you. My door is open to you. So don't neglect coming before God in prayer and crying out to him because he's made a way whereby we can be confident that we will receive a hearing before the Almighty God. And so hold on to that. You still can come before God with a boldness and be confident. You know what? He's my Father. He's going to hear me. He's going to hear what I have to say. He's going to welcome me back into the family. So friend, if you've been a person that has walked away from God, and you're coming back to God, what I would say to you is welcome home. Welcome home. You're back where you should be. And then lastly, we're reminded here to hold firmly to the truth that as we approach that throne room of God, we will find grace. We will find that grace and mercy will meet us there. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God's throne room is a place of understanding. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of healing. It's a place of grace. It's a place of mercy. And we need to be confident of that, that that's always there for us. That, you know, no matter what has happened in our lives, yes, we don't want to sin. Yes, we don't want to be grieving God. But if we make those mistakes, God's still opening up to us, still wanting to receive it. And he has a table of grace and mercy to give us. See, we serve an amazing God, a gracious God, a loving God, who extends unmerited favor, undeserved favor towards us. The Bible said he is a compassionate God that does not treat us as our sins deserve. And when we're really in a need of some understanding and some grace, he's the one that will give it to us. You know, even in the natural, sometimes we're in that boat and we're kind of coming before other Christians saying, or maybe we're coming before the pastor saying, oh man, I really messed up and oh, terrible, terrible. And that's not really the time to you know, just give them. Yeah, yes, you did. Man, oh man, you are a terrible individual. Now it's the time to give them some grace and mercy. They're coming back to God. Let us welcome them as they come back to God, because we serve a God that is gracious. I love Psalm 103. I'm not going to read the whole psalm to you, but just pick out a couple little verses that are there. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." God loves you. So, of course, he's going to be open for you to come back to him. Verse 10 says, "He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve." Yes, we deserve to be punished. Yes, we deserve to be on the receiving end of a lot of judgment. But yet God is saying, if you come to me, as we bring our sins and we repent before him, he's saying, I will forgive you. I'll remove those sins from you. Verse 13 and 14, Psalm 103. "The Lord is like a father to his children." This is a true father. "Tender, compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." In other words, you don't surprise God any. God's not shocked by what you've done. We often get shocked when we, you know, hear what people are going on in people's lives. You know, we get shocked. Doesn't shock God at all. He understands. He sees all, understands all. And he's saying, I have a throne room of grace that you can come to. Grace, understanding, forgiveness, healing. You know, you look in the Bible and you read about Israel. It's a very interesting read to read about them, because you see some awesome, awesome blessings. But you also see where things did not go so well when they walked away from God. But yet this is what the Lord said to them. In Isaiah 30, 19, he said, "O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more, because God's going to be gracious to you if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries." Grace is waiting for you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't believe those lies that God can't forgive you, or that you did something so bad or so wrong that God could never forgive you or restore you. That's a lie. God is a table of grace for you. Grace is waiting for you. So don't miss it. You know, it's called the throne of grace for a reason, that God says you can approach this throne room. Why? Because it's a throne room of grace that is given to you. Understanding that is given to you. Unmerited favor that's given to you. Treatment, even though you deserve far worse, God's saying, I want to extend grace to you. Yes, sin still needs to be repented of. There is no free ride from sin. But as we repent of sin, understand there is grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness that's waiting for us. So, friend, don't allow a failure, don't allow guilt and shame to hold you back from crying out to God or thinking that, you know, I'm kind of a lesser Christian. Don't go down that road. Instead, come before the Almighty God, that throne room of grace, where there is grace that is willing to be given to you, to heal you, to forgive you, to restore you. And that grace is ready to meet you today. It really is. God wants to restore the relationship, not make it go worse. He wants to restore it and make it better, and that grace is waiting. Now, I know as we read this in conclusion, as we read this passage of Scripture, we often, as Christians, kind of look at it that, yeah, this is like when we got it together, and, you know, when we're really serving the Lord and we're doing all of our Bible reading, we're doing all of our praying, and we're out to church and we're out to Bible studies and we're doing all these things, that, yeah, then we can come to that throne of grace boldly. That's not what it's saying. It's just saying, as a believer in Christ, you can come boldly, even when you mess up, because there's still a throne room of grace that is waiting for you. You know, sometimes things happen in our lives that sometimes, you know, we lose the boldness. Sometimes we lose our confidence in God. And usually it's a slow process. It's not a quick one. And we kind of drift away from God. And then, you know, the guilt comes in. The shame comes in. compromise comes in, and we then sometimes pull away from God because we've convinced ourselves that God wouldn't want us anymore because we haven't been doing those things that He wants us to do. And it's the exact opposite. It's just like in that parable of the prodigal son, the father every day would be praying, looking out, looking down the highway to see if that son would return. And that's what the Lord does for us. He's looking for us to return to Him. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Now is the time to make things right with God. Now is the time to deal with any shame or guilt or unworthiness where we're feeling far from God, because God is saying, I have a table of grace that I want to extend to you that's going to help you, going to restore you, it's going to help bring you back to where you should be in the family. And so I'm just here this morning to remind you to hold on. Keep holding on firm to the faith. And I know for a lot of you, that's where you are. You're already doing that. But maybe for those today that maybe you've been struggling. You know, and because we know that other people sometimes are doing well in their Christian walk, we don't want to tell them that, I haven't been doing so good. So we like kind of keep quiet, or we kind of pull away, because we don't want them to know. But we need to realize you're important. God loves you. God cares about you. His table is extended to you just as much to anybody else. He loves you. He wants to help you. And so He's inviting us to come. The Lord's inviting us to come. You know, in our world right now, there's been so many folks that have been deceived, that have walked away from God, that once served the Lord. It's kind of amazing sometimes when you get talking with people and you find out that, oh, you did used to go to church. Oh, you used to serve the Lord, but you haven't been. Oh, I really believe that God is calling people home today. Not to die, but to die to self and to come back to Him and experience life in Christ in its fullness. God has not given up on you. God is welcoming you back and wants to bring you back to that place where you're part of the family again. Put the ring back on your finger. Put that robe back on and say, you're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. I welcome you home. The Bible puts it this way, Jesus' own words. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and you're carrying heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Not punishment, not judgment. I'll give you rest. That's what He's offering us. We just need to come to Him and approach Him and pray to Him and bring all of our questions, bring all of our fears, bring all of our failures, bring all of our faults, and He will help you. He will help you. He will give to you whatever you need right now. And if you need hope today, then He'll give you hope. If you need forgiveness today, He'll give you forgiveness. If you need new boldness today, He can give that to you. Whatever you need today, He is able to give that to you. He just invites us, come. I want you to come.